Pentecost Sunday is the 50th day after Easter, and even for the Jews, what a significant feast. In the early church, this outranked Christmas. You had Easter, Epiphany, and Pentecost. And the night before Pentecost Sunday was a vigil, like at Easter, the vigil of readings and preparation in anticipation of the coming of the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Unknown One. Unknown in the sense that we don't think or pray enough to the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge God the Father, we turn to him in prayer, with the only prayer given to us by God alone. We think much about Jesus Christ. He had a human nature, a human body like ours, now glorified, and we can visualize him and seek out his presence, especially in a sacramental manner. But how many touch base or pray daily to the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit is known as the Advocate, who comes to plead our cause, the Consoler in their moments of grief, the Comforter in times of anguish, and of course, the Paraclete to inspire and guide. The Holy Spirit is bodiless, therefore we have symbols to depict his presence and to enlighten our minds. We have a Holy Spirit dove into the floor at the narthex as we're coming into the church. We think about the flowers in front of the altar, symbolic of the flames that appeared above their heads. Why does God use a flame? Because a flame gives off heat to warm our hearts with God's charity, and also light to take away the darkness of sin and error. So flames are used, wind, the rushing wind, clouds, these are all symbols of the presence of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who came to enter into the hearts of the apostles and to give birth to the church that was conceived on Calvary when our Lord's side was opened. Until then, you might say, it was in the womb, awaiting birth. And on this occasion, the Holy Spirit came and enlightened them, filled them with grace and gifts, so much so that they could go out and speak in one language and be heard in multiple languages. The first time ever there was translations done instantaneously for all people present. Some people confuse that with praying in tongues. They weren't praying in tongues, they were speaking in their language but heard in all languages present, which of course is impossible apart from God's grace. They also could remember all that Christ had taught them, and they proclaimed those teachings with vigor and clearness and such enthusiasm that on Pentecost Sunday alone, Peter, the fisherman, having preached as the first pope, brought into the church through baptism 3,000 converts. That's no small number to baptize on one occasion at one place after preaching one homily. Such was the presence of God that people felt they had to become Catholics, Christians, enter into the way and adopt the name as Jesus as Lord. The Holy Spirit is still active in the world today, and we should never doubt his presence. Even in recent times, people have, you might say, locked into that presence and downloaded spiritual power to enable them to do what people thought was impossible. One recent person who did that in the most magnificent way, whose legacy is long living, was Mother Angelica, who set up the EWTN radio TV network. She could only have done that because she was connected well to the Holy Spirit and therefore did what was asked of her at the right time, and in the right way. If we want to manifest the presence of God's Spirit, which is the presence of Christ, to visualize Christ in the world, to make him present, as did St. Paul, we need to know and live out the seven gifts. We've said the sequence, we've just heard, thou on us who evermore, thee confess and thee adore, with thy sevenfold gift descends. Sevenfold gifts. What are those gifts? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, piety, fortitude, and fear of the Lord. Those seven gifts perfect seven virtues. Wisdom perfects love, so that we might know what God's plan is for us. We see the big picture. Wisdom means we can see the ultimate reason behind suffering, pain, and issues in our life. Knowledge perfects hope, because without hope we cannot enter heaven. And therefore we need to know things that God wants to reveal to us. And of course, some things he can only reveal within. It's called infused knowledge. Understanding perfects our faith, because many beliefs we have are mysterious, and unless we have clear understanding, we can't, might say, wrap our hands or arms around these articles of faith. So we need to understand in a godly way. Counsel perfects prudence, because we need to make the right decisions, and not just the right decisions, but the right decisions here and now. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it or when you say it that makes such a difference. Counsel leads us to piety, not a piety shop, but piety means reverence, a respect, giving true justice to godly people, places and things, something we're truly lacking in our age that takes blasphemy for granted, mocks and ridicules the church and hates those who promote the Christian faith. Courage needs fortitude. Fortitude bolsters the will so that we don't shrink back from impending evils or threats. We're not so much worried about what others think of us as what God wants of us. And of course, lastly comes fear of the Lord that perfects temperance or the need to practice self-control. Fear of the Lord isn't fearing God, but rather fearing the loss of God. Fearing losing God's presence in my life. Therefore, we don't sin in certain ways because we don't want God to depart from us. Remember, God never turns from us, but rather we turn from God. That, in a nutshell, are the seven gifts, those seven gifts that perfect the seven virtues. They're listed in the Catechism and explained far better there. Let us ask God to enlighten our minds so that we want to receive them, and in receiving them, act accordingly. Then too, we will be truly animated from within by God's presence and God's Holy Spirit.